Data Access Cyber Seminar Series. This is a newly formed collaborative mini-series in which you can join data access policy experts from VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center, and VINCI, VA Informatics and Computing Infrastructure, and others in the field for presentations on accessing and managing data. We want to thank CIDR for providing technical and promotional support. And Data Access, as I mentioned, is a new cyber seminar mini-series consisting of 5 presentations. Sessions provide an overview of data access request processes, insight on regulatory requirements, and address where to find related resources. This mini-series is geared towards new and established VA employees who are interested in VA data access and regulatory policy. Here is the schedule for the remainder of the year. Sessions are held September through November. More information about this series and other cyber seminars is available on HSR's website, and you can view past HSR cyber, and you can also view past HSR cyber seminar archives there. A quick reminder to those of you just joining on, slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should have received today before the session, and in it you will find a link to download the slides. Now, before I introduce our speaker today, we'd like to ask a few poll questions to get to know our audience a little bit better. So, Whitney, can you let me know, did you load both the first two polls together or separate?
They are separate.
Okay, thank you. So for this first poll, Whitney's gonna go ahead and launch the poll in just a second. It is, what is your primary role in projects using VA data? Are you an investigator, co-IPI, statistician, methodologist, biostatistician, data manager, analyst, or programmer, project coordinator, or other? And if you select other, please go to the chat function and you can type in your job title there. So as you may have noticed, the polling pane has opened and the poll is available. Go ahead and select your answer and then be sure to scroll down to the bottom and click submit so that your answer is recorded. And I will wait just a second while those finish coming in, and then Whitney will read the results for us.
Thank you, Molly. So the poll is open and running. I see that there's just a couple more people who are still in progress, so we'll just let that run before I close that out. All right. I'm going to go ahead and close this out now. And share the results. We have 18% said A, investigator, PI, co-I. 3% said B, statistician, methodologist, biostatistician. 9% said C, data manager, analyst, or programmer. 24% said D, project coordinator. 8% said E, other. And some of those others I see are IRB coordinator, program support assistant, RCO, research assistant, chief of research, psychology doctoral intern, vice chair for R&D committee. And that's all. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you so much. So we do have a second poll question that we'd like to ask real quick. And that is, how many years of experience do you have working with VA data? The answer options are none, I'm brand new to this, 1 year or less, more than one less than 3 years, at least 3 less than 7 years, or at least 7 less than 10 years, 10 years or more. So once again, that polling pane is open and the poll is live. So go ahead and select your response and then be sure to scroll down and submit your reply so that we can get that answered. And the poll is still going. People are still responding. So we'll give everybody just a few more seconds before Whitney closes it out.
All right. I think things have slowed down. So I'll go ahead and close out the poll and share the results. For A, none, I'm brand new to this. We have 19%. B, 1 year or less, 12%. C, more than one, less than three, 16%. D, at least 3 less than 7, 10%. E, at least 7 less than 10, 6%. And lastly, F, 10 years or more, 7%. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. We appreciate everybody's participation, and we just have one last poll question for you. What is the main reason you are attending today's cyber seminar? The answer options are, I want to request data for research. I want to request data for preparatory to research. I want to learn more about using Dart. So this is our final poll question. Take just a moment to answer that, and then we will proceed.
Thank you, Molly. So we just have a few more people before I can close this out. Okay. Seems like that's all set. So I'll close out the poll, share the results. We have 14% say A, I want to request data for research. 5% said B, I want to request data for preparatory to research. And lastly, 46% said C, I want to learn more about using Dart. Thank you, everyone. Back to you, Molly.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate your participation. All right. Before I introduce our speaker, I just, once again, today's session is requesting research data access using Dart, and Tim Troutman will be presenting for us today. He is a health science specialist with Vinci and a 15-year member of the Vinci Dart team, and is Vinci's program manager for the past 10 years. He is focused on making data available for research through Dart and making new data sets available through VA Deployment Request Tracker, VADDRT. Additionally, Tim has been helping to manage various websites to disseminate data information for researchers. Joining Tim for the Q&A portion at the end of today's presentation is Angela Giannata, Virex Data Access and Policy Specialist. So I want to thank Tim for presenting for us today, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now.
Thank you so much for a lovely introduction. I'd also like to thank Angela for being here today to answer some questions as well. Welcome everyone to our data access mini-series on requesting research data access for using Dart. I'm Tim Troutman. We'll get started right now. We've got a lot to get through. Okay, today's roadmap is we're going to do an introduction to the Dart application. And also throughout the presentation, I'm going to be doing little dives into how to use the application, not just how to apply for access, but actually how to use it. We're going to talk about creating a Dart request. We're going to talk about the Dart approval process, and then post-Dart user end day of provisioning, and lastly, amending a Dart request. So Dart is Vinci's Data Access Request Tracker online application, which is used by NDS, National Data Systems, and MVP, Million Veteran Program, as well as other data stewards to approve access to various data sources, including CDW, Vinci, and MVP data. The way Dart works is it collects your study information and documentation via a four-screen wizard. It determines the required documentation based on your wizard entries, and it distributes the request to approving authorities who approve the request. Now, how do I get to Dart? So you start by going to Vinci Central, which is the link provided there in the slide. At Vinci Central, you go to the Applications tab, and when you click on that, the first item is the Data Access Request Tracker. So you'll launch that from Vinci Central. And I'll take you to the Vinci dashboard. I've also provided the direct link to the Vinci dashboard. So when you go there for the first time, be sure and bookmark it so you can access it directly. Now let's talk about the dashboard. Starting at the upper right, you'll notice that it recognizes who I am, Timothy N. Troutman. It's single sign-on, so it will always know who you are. And then just below that, is the Dart user guide. If I could say nothing else, please, please look at the Dart user guide when you're using the application, because it has a lot of great information on tips and techniques on how to actually build your request, what's needed, what's not needed, things to think about. And we'll talk more about that. Moving on over to the left, there's two tabs on your dashboard. There's a to-do list, and there's a request tab, which is the list of all your requests. So on the to-do list, if someone has sent something for you to review and take care of, a reviewer does a change request, and we'll talk more about that, it'll appear here on your to-do list. Below that on your to-do list, there's a filter. So you can filter your entries between all or preparatory to research or research. All right, let's continue on. Okay, here I've clicked over to the request tab. First thing I want to show you is there's a table of your requests. You've got your tracking number, the name of your request, and this is going to be a short name, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. The type of request, research or prep to research, the contact, which is your PI, when it was submitted, and then you got a status column, which tells you where your request is in the process, including a percentage when it's in process. And then in the last column, you have an actions button. So, and I'll get to that in a moment, but going back over to our left arrow and the tracking number, you'll notice that each of the columns has a little sort field. So you're able to sort by column as needed. Back over to the right with action items. So this is applicable to that specific request. So when you click on the actions button, it's going to give you some options depending on the status of the request. For instance, this request that I've clicked on that's approved has two choices, one to view and one to amend the request. So we'll get to the point where we're going to talk about amending the request, but this is where you're going to find your action buttons. Okay, now let's get into the meat of this, creating a DART request. So I'm going to start on the request tab, and I'm going to click the create new request button. This is going to pop up a modal window, and it's going to ask you your official study name. Now this is important. This name needs to match word for word what your protocol name is. And also, while I'm on that, there is only one DART request per protocol. So if you need to make, if you have changes to your protocol, you'll just make changes to your original DART request. Next drop down is your request type. This is simply prep to research or research data access. So you'll select the appropriate one. Next question below it is, would you like an assessment of your data needs from Vinci Services? So this is a service, a free service that Vinci provides through our Vinci Services team of doing basically a data needs assessment. So you have an idea of the data that you're looking for, but do you know where to find it? Do you know what domain this particular data is in or that particular data? So we have experts in the Vinci Services team that can tell you, you're looking to do this, this, that, and the other thing. Here are the sets to request in your DART request. So I highly recommend everyone use this service. So once you've made your selections, go ahead and click on Create Request. So the first thing that's going to happen is DART's going to send you an email saying you've initiated a request. In this email, it's going to have some information, starting with the attachment. It's called DART Considerations. This is a PDF that basically lists out things to think of when you are requesting data access. What sort of things are you going to need in the research request memo? What are some tips and techniques on doing my request and managing my request? And then just below that, you're going to get your DART tracking number. This is the first time you're going to see the tracking number for your DART request. And you're going to need this because you're going to need to include it in your research request memo. So you'll want to start your DART request, get your DART number, that you're going to need to create your research request memo. All right, continuing on, we've reached our request. So this is the first page of four of the wizard that we are going to visit. Starting at the upper left, you'll notice there is a breadcrumb of the various pages that you're going to step through. for this request, so you always know where you're at. They don't have to be done sequentially, but they should be. It just makes it easier to understand what documents you're going to need. And you can always get back to the first page here, activity information, by clicking on the breadcrumbs. Next thing I want to talk about is over to the right. It's a history icon. A lot of people overlook this, but if you go to the history icon, it's going to bring up a window where it's going to show you all the various events about your request, when they were carried out, date and time, and who did it. When you're going through your request and you're wondering, okay, I think it might be taking, where's my request at? Who's reviewing it? Is it taking a long time or not? You can click on this and you can see exactly where the request is in the process. So I highly recommend you get familiar with it. So once you're in the history screen, you want to get back to your request, just click on the breadcrumbs at the top left. And then let's talk about the communications functionality. So that's the button at the upper right. And when I click on that, it's going to take me to the communications page. In here, I have the option to add a new communication. And just so you have a caveat, the communications go between you and the reviewer, but it only works when you're actually in process with your reviews. That way it gets routed to the correct reviewer. So if I was to click on the Add New button, it's going to ask me to create a new communication. So for instance, in here, I put in a topic, uploaded wrong IRB document. And then you can include a message. Hello, I've uploaded the IRB document for the wrong study. Can you please let me know how to fix? And then you'll submit that question and that will become part of the record. And you'll see here, it will show up on the communications page as one of the topics. And if you click on the topic, it's going to expand out to show you what the message is. And you can do this with any message that comes to you through Dart. All right, let's get back to the activity information page. So this is the first page of your wizard. So the first thing you enter in is a short name. This is like a nickname for your study. A lot of people have these. Next thing you enter is, does your project have an IRB or other project number? Select yes or no. If you select yes, it's going to ask you for your VAERS project ID number. So you'll want to put that in there. And then move on to your next question, which is, does your project have an IRB or R&D committee approval expiration date? Again, yes or no. If you put in yes, you're going to be asked for your expiration date for that approval. And just a reminder, all the approvals that you get, you need to come back into Dart annually to update that approval in Dart. Sure, you updated with your IRB or your IND, but you still have to come back and give us that document saying that I'm still good to go. Next is your study start date, so when your study started, and then an anticipated study close date. And then we're going to move on to the bottom half of the activity information page, and you're going to have some questions here. You got two sections on exemptions and informed consent and one on HIPAA authorization. Now, there's a lot of information here to answer, but here's a little cheat sheet that you can find in the Dart guide. So question one, has your study been determined to be exempt from human subjects? Yes or no? And depending on your question, it will expand out and ask you question 1A and 1B. So if you put in no, then it's going to ask you, does your study require subjects to give informed consent, etc.? Yes or no? Same with, does your study have IRB approval for full waiver? Yes or no? Next questions, HIPAA authorization. So question two, does your study have IRB or privacy board approval for a waiver of HIPAA authorization? Yes or no? Once again, depending on your question, it will expand out to give you 2A and 2B for clarification. Is the waiver only for recruiting, or is the waiver for the entire study? And looking at the cheat sheet, it will tell you what documents you're going to be asked for based on your responses. And I'd like to show you at the bottom of the red arrow, there's a validate button. So once you've made all your entries, you can click on this validate button and it'll do an error check for you to make sure that all the information you entered is compliant. You can do this on any of the pages throughout your DART request. And then the button next to it, save as draft. And then the next button is your navigation button to screen two, which is your participants. These are the people that are involved in making the study happen. So this is going to be your PIs, your co-PIs. It's going to be your study coordinators. These are going to be your SQL analysts. These are going to be the people working with you. So to add participants, you'll go to the lower left and click on the Find People button. And this just works like email does in Outlook. So you won't have any trouble figuring out how to find people. And then the next thing would be to select their location. So wherever they are domiciled, click that for the location, and that being the healthcare system or branch that they're attached to. And you can see in this table, participants, we've got your name, we've got your AD alias, so we know exactly which particular John Doe you might be. Then we also have a location that you have selected for the person. And I like to point out that the AD aliases in most cases tell you which VMAC the person is stationed at. And so we do look at seeing if the AD alias station matches location that you said in participants, because you got to keep this straight as far as having the right person at the right location. There's only one exception to that rule, and you can find that in the DART user guide. Next is a column for notifications. So you'll select notifications if you want to receive emails from DART. And this is really good for study coordinators who are managing DART requests. Next is the data access column. And you might wonder why, of course, we're applying for data access. Why do you have to check it? Well, as you see in the third entry here for Deborah Eddy, she does not have data access checked because she's going to be a study coordinator. She doesn't need access to data, but she does need access to the DART request to manage it and the notifications that come along with it. In the third column is Capri JLV application account. Now, this is an account with a system. It's not data, even though there's data in it, but that this is access to a system. So you select the people that you want access to the system. And typically in studies, you don't need every single person on your study to have that application account. You probably just need one or two people that are actually going to be pulling the data. And lastly, in the column that says delete, is a little trash can if you need to remove it. All right, moving over to the right section, this is where you're going to indicate your primary location. So you see a star next to each of the locations. If you click on that star, it fills in solid, indicating a primary location. Hollow stars are indicating secondary locations. Over on the right for principal investigator, there's a dropdown. If you click this dropdown, you can select who at that location is your primary investigator. And the same happens with secondary locations. All right, moving on to our third page, it's data sources, what we've all been waiting for. So starting at the top of the data sources page, and it's a long page, so we're going to have a few slides here. Data storage location is Vinci or other server location. A lot of people use just Vinci, which is the Vinci workspace where we have the data securely stored behind a firewall. So we manage security for you. Other people also like to bring their data locally and have it on their local server, or they're working from their local server to begin with. In that instance, you'll click that, and then you'll put the name of your facility, the address, the building, and yes, the room number. We do need the room number of the server. Going forward, fairly soon, we're also going to be including questions that are already in the research request memo that are, what's the name of the server and what is the file path to the folder for your project? Now, you may be asking yourself, why click both locations? A number of people come into Vinci, they create mailing lists to do recruiting, and then they want to download that list of personnel to their local server so they can create mailers. So that's one of the biggest instances of using both locations. Continuing on to our next section on the page is the data use agreement section. So if you're going to be transferring data external to the VHA, for instance, you're working with a drug company on a trial, you're going to need a data use agreement. And there's information in the DART user guide and the VHA data portal on data use agreements. So if you do select yes, it's going to ask you, who are you sharing the data with? What's their location? So we have an idea of where our veterans' data is going. Next section is data access systems. So this is the SAS grid. This is Vinci's SAS grid. So if you're selecting Vinci as your storage location and you want to take advantage of all the power that our SAS grid has, select this and we will provision you for SAS grid access. Next is identifiers. So we've got three identifiers available for you. Real SSN, and I want to mention this too. If you're only wanting last four of Real SSN, it's still Real SSN. So you would still check the Real SSN box. Next is scrambled SSN. And lastly, identifiable data, but no real or scrambled SSNs. These are your patient ICNs. So while it's not a social security number, it is identifiable data. Vinci only provides identifiable data. Continuing on to the bottom half of the form, we get into our data sources. So they're broken up into two sections. The first section, upper left here, is healthcare operations generated data sources. These are your typical classic data sources, such as CDW production domains. And as you see here, I've also clicked on GEC, HBPC data, for another example. In the bottom arrow, you'll see that there is a caveat to a particular data set. It says real SSN approval required. So you'll see this for a number of data sources that rely on real SSN as their identifier. In that instance, it will automatically check real SSN for you. Moving on down to the bottom of the form, to the second section is our research generated data sources. So a study out there has created this amazing data source and they want everyone to use it and they're curating it for you. So this is where we get in instances such as EPIC and Million Veteran Program. This is where you're going to find that information. All right, now that we've got our data sources selected, we click the next button and move on to our document screen. Now, this is where the magic of DART happens. So DART, behind the scenes, has business logic that is furiously thinking, okay, I have got your activity information. I know who is a participant. I know what data sources you want. Given all that, what documentation is going to be required? And here it does the work for you. So it breaks it down by location, and then it breaks it down by individual, if there are individual documents that are needed. So this is just a typical example. Salt Lake City as my primary location, we're going to need a research request memo. We're going to need our IRB letter. Moving on. You'll see we also need a sample informed consent and HIPAA authorization. We in our R&D committee letter. We have our, we need a data use agreement because we wanted to share data. There's IRB approval of waiver for HIPAA authorization. There's and next is a research protocol. Continuing on, because I selected CDW domain, it's going to ask for a checklist. Next, it's going to ask for RealSSN access request if I selected RealSSN, which I did. And lastly, some data sources have what's called a POTA form. This is Program Office Data Access Approval for a specific data source. So this gives the data owner first chance to look at what you, why you want to use their data and how you want to use their data, and if it meets their requirements for using their data. This form allows them to have a say. So you would go to them before you submit the DART request, obviously, and get that approval. And then you can see at the secondary location, it's asking for the typical three documents, an IRB letter, an RD letter, and a waiver, a HIPAA waiver. And lastly, if there are documents that require individuals to submit, as we do here for CAPRI and JLV example, EHR access request form. So this is requesting access to the application. Taking a look at the upper right, you see here that you upload documents. There's an upload button for, or link for each of the documents. And once you've uploaded a document, as you see at the top right arrow, it's going to rename that document in a very specific format that lets us know exactly what request this belongs to, what the document is, and what the location is. Now, if you uploaded the wrong document, sorry, it is now part of the federal record. You just click the upload button again, and then you can upload the correct document. Or if, for example, you needed to upload two documents, upload them sequentially, one at a time. Every document that you upload becomes part of that permanent federal record. It cannot be removed once uploaded. All right, let's move right on along. Okay, getting to the last page here. So we've done our four wizard screen. We've got our documentation uploaded and we're at the submit stage. So on the submit screen, you see right now there's a green bar that indicates that you're nearly complete and that you've answered all the questions. If there was a mistake or something didn't validate in the previous four screens, you would see a red error screen right here where you see green, and it would tell you what the error is. For example, like this date's invalid, or you forgot to upload a certain document. Below that is two questions that we ask, and these are Vinci questions. First is, would you like to work with Vinci Services on developing your cohort? So another service Vinci has is cohort development. So if you know, you know, what range of veteran population you're targeting, we can help you with developing that specific cohort to meet your needs. We also want to ask you, what is your team's level of SQL proficiency? Because let's face it, we're giving you access to SQL data, and you're going to need a SQL analyst and programmer on your team to manipulate the data for you. We just want to know what your level of experience is so that if necessary, we can make recommendations on how to be more proficient. And lastly, submit request. And now you have submitted your DART request. So now it's submitted, let's talk about the approval process. So once your request is submitted, you'll see this flowchart. Most requests go to NDS. So that's your initial NDS review. They're going to take a look at that and they're going to farm out the request to several secondary reviewers, such as ORD for Real SSN or security, privacy, or another approver if necessary. And that is all handled in parallel, not sequentially. So once all those approvers have made their recommendations to approve, it comes back to NDS for a final review. Once that review is approved, your request is approved for NDS data sources. Now let's take MVP as an example. So if I submit an MVP request, that's going to take the right branch on your screen, which is independent approver review. So they're just one and done. So they're going to review request and say, okay, do you meet the MVP requirements? And just as a side note, you have to be approved for MVP data before you even get to the DART side of approving this. And so once all the reviews are done, all the requests are approved, it's moved into the request completed state, and that ends the request process. At this point is when you can amend a request. So I just want to show you here quickly what NDS is going to see on their screen when they're deciding what they want to do with your request when they do their initial review. So you see there's a list on the left of secondary reviews, privacy, security, ORD, Capri, homeless, and then NPOP. Also, what they can do, as you see at the arrow at the bottom, is they can request changes. And this happens frequently when NDS has done its initial review and has found a shortcoming in your request or something that doesn't align. They will come back to you with a change request. So what they'll do is they'll click on this button and they'll fill out a communication and you'll receive an email. In this email, you'll see at the top here in the subject line, change requested by NDS, changes requested. And then you can see at the lower left of the email, there's a message. What is the change that is being requested? And here it is, please upload a signed research request memo. You'd be surprised how many people upload unsigned documents. And then there's a link below that to go to the request if necessary. So the thing to do when you get a change request is simply return to the request on your to-do list and make the changes specified or clarify per instructions from the reviewer. Most delays in request processing are due to waiting on the study to resubmit those changes. So it's up to you to resubmit those in a timely manner. And lastly, see section 4.3 of the DART user guide on responding to change requests for detailed information. So once that change request has been made, there's an entry in the communication functionality, and you can always visit that by going to the communication icon, clicking on it, and selecting the topic that says changes requested. And then it will expand to show you again what the change is that they're requesting. So there's two ways to find out what they are asking for. All right, continuing on, the moment you've all been waiting for. So you've submitted your request, it's gone through the process, it's been approved. Now you can carry out your research. At this point, all the reviews are completed and approved by the various reviewers, and you can now amend the request going forward as needed. You'll receive an email, as you see at the top here, in the subject line, request completed. This allows you to begin your research. Also, if you go to your DART dashboard and look up the request on the request tab, you'll see in the status column, it'll say approved as the status. All right, now that you're approved, what happens next? So Post-Dart user and data provisioning starts like this. So here we got a flowchart of what Vinci does on the left-hand side of your screen and what the study does on the right-hand side of your screen. So what first thing is going to happen in Vinci is Dart's going to notify the project provisioning tool. This is an automated tool that Vinci has built to provision studies. So this happens typically within hours of the study being approved, since it's all automated. What it's going to do is it's going to create an Active Directory security group for your study. So anyone that's checked for data access will be added to this security group. It's also going to create a Vinci workspace access for all those that are checked for data access again. Also, for individuals, it will create a personal folder. And for the study, it will create a study folder. The personal folder will show up on your H drive. On your H drive, this is just for your use that only you can access. This is personal. You don't want to store study data here. This is more for documentation, for presentations, and results that you want to download and share with the world, or just archive. And then your study folder will show up on the O or P drive within the Vinci workspace. All right. Also, Dart notifies a Vinci data manager who is assigned to your project. This is a data manager is going to work one-on-one with you. So they have a tool called data provisioning tool where it's going to create a correspondence site. This is a SharePoint site whereby you're going to communicate back and forth with your data manager. On this site is where you're going to be working out what data you're looking for beyond, you know, specifically in Dart of the selections you made, they can work with you on developing a cohort, and then they will pull that data. So another thing the data provisioning tool does is it creates upload and download folders so that you can move data if you need to download it to a local site. And then it will also send an email via a correspondence site. And I think I've got an example here. So this is the typical message you'll receive in your email, and it's a SharePoint message. And it's basically a welcome to Vinci message. It's going to tell you what to do, what not to do, how to work with the team. It's going to tell you that we want all the communications going through this site so it's documented exactly what data you're asking for and getting. So you'll use this site to manage your data access. You can also reach your SharePoint correspondence site by going to your Vinci dashboard on Vinci Central, selecting that dropdown, and then selecting Vinci SharePoint sites. And when that comes up, you'll see a list of various SharePoint sites that you have access to. And then it'll give you the site name, which is a link, which you can click on to go back to your correspondence site. Continuing on, now that you're in touch with Vinci and we're in touch with you, you're going to go back and forth modifying your cohort specification until you are satisfied, and then Vinci will make those views available and you receive that data. That is study provisioning in a nutshell. Lastly, let's talk about amending a Dart request. So there are many reasons to amend a Dart request. Adding or removing personnel. If you do so, you're going to need a new research request memo. If you have a PI change, you need to update your annual continuing IRB documents, new exemptions, RD&C check-ins and reports, your typical annual documentation. So you are responsible for keeping your access approval documentation on file with Dart current. That means when you get a new document that is related to your Dart access or data access, you need to amend your Dart request and put that document in there. So we are aware, and so the federal record has your approval. Next, if you want to request more data sources. So turns out you got data source A, B, and C, but now you need D and E. So just add more data sources. And just so you know, you cannot uncheck a data source once approved. So you may have been approved for a data source, but you never used it, but you can't uncheck it. Once approved, you are again part of the record as having access to that data. And lastly, perhaps to close a study. So a lot of people that do research requests fail to close out their studies in Dart, which is your data access. And that is part of your responsibilities as the study. Please see section 4.5 of the Dart User Guide on how to close a request. So it's on to the amendment. So find your request in your request tab, and then click on the action button and select the amend. This is going to bring up a modal window. It's just going to basically ask you to confirm the information that we have, and then you'll click on amend request. This will once again bring up your activity information screen. I'd like to point out at the upper left, your Dart tracking number now has a dash A01 on it. So this is amendment one. As you add additional amendments, amendment two, amendment three, you'll get your A02, A03 as you move along. Also new on the activity information page is a narrative. So why are you amending this request? Here's a typical example that everyone should be using every year: updating with continuing IRB letter. After that, you'll move through the page and make any necessary adjustments to dates, for example. So if you got continuing IRB letter, you've been continued out for another year. So be sure to change your approval expiration date for IRB. And then you move on to participant screen. If you need to make personnel changes, for example, we need to drop Grant Larimer here from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Click on that delete button and remove him. And that will also remove Cheyenne as a secondary site in this instance. And then you would just add additional people as I've shown you already. Continuing on to domains, you have the option to select additional domains for your study. And again, you cannot uncheck domains that you have already previously been approved for. From there, we go on to documents. So we need to upload any new documents that are necessary. For instance, maybe a new research request memo. Again, just select the upload link on the right and upload a new version of that document. And you can do that for all the documents. Then we get to the submit screen, and voila, we submit our amendment. Okay, so that is Dart and how to request an amendment and a request overall in a nutshell. I hope you have learned enough today to understand Dart, understand the process of using Dart and the features within Dart. Dart is quite powerful and has lots of functionality to make your life easier. So please take advantage of it. And as always, let us know if you have any questions. All our help desks are here to take care of you. And with that, I will hand it back. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Tim. We very much appreciate that.
For our attendees, if you would like to submit a question, please open up the Q&A pane on your WebEx screen. If you cannot locate it, go to the lower right-hand corner of your screen, click on the three dots, and you will see Q&A. Go ahead and click there. You can type in your question, and don't forget to press submit so that we can see it. And we're going to jump right in. What is the best way to find out the building and roof number where a server is located in reference to where data will be saved when working with it outside Vinci?
Well, I see Linda's been answering some questions, but I would also like to add that go to your ISSO at your location. They know the location of all your computer resources, including that server that's going to be holding your data within their facility.
Thank you. Pardon me. The next question we have here. If I'm part of a data repository, who will be planning on sharing data with VA investigators via DART, will I see all the documents that an investigator is submitting on the DART request, for example, IRB approvals, protocol, et cetera, or will the only documents we, quote, have a say in be the POTA DUA?
So the only one you will have a say in is the POTA. But you can ask the person that is requesting your data for those documents in order to satisfy your own curiosity. But the POTA form is just your way of giving your approval. But you can decide what that means. You can decide that as part of that POTA form, you can include in the instructions that say, you know, submit your protocol, submit this, submit that, and then based on that documentation, you approve their POTA form.
Thank if you. I could add, Tim?
Yes.
Most of the program offices that have curated data sets do ask for either the protocol and several other documents and or a project summary. So it's totally up to the data owner to decide what documents they want to provide, and they can do a thorough review and then sign the POTA form approving that part of the data request. And then the POTA form is just becomes one other required document when a researcher selects the box for that data set.
Thank you.
Thank you both. The next question, how long does a data manager have access to Vinci SQL database?
So a study data manager will have access as long as they're approved from access by your IRB and DART.
Thank you. For preparatory for research, if I don't know exactly which data values VA collects, which comes first, DART or IRB?
You'll want to do a DART prep to research request. The whole point of doing prep to research is to find out if the data is there, if the cohort's there, if we can provide the information you need to carry out your study. Once you've got that information, you use those things such as aggregate counts of number of veterans with a certain condition to submit to your IRB. So prepped research first, IRB second.
Thank you. Next question, what is the best way to determine which data source or sources will be most helpful for our research question? Is there a guide that explains what they are and what sort of data they contain?
We do have a guide. They're called the Vinci Services Team, and they'd be more than happy to do a data needs assessment with you. Basically, you just tell them in plain English what you're looking for, and they translate that into data sources for you.
If I might add, you can also, and that is a great service. There are very few agencies that ever have a data needs assessment service like Vinci provides. But you can also get an idea, you know, of a general idea of what's in the data source by going to the VHA data portal. Excuse me, data sources pages.
Thank you. The next question we have, let's For data storage location, if an employee works remotely, what room should they list?
All right, the data storage location is going to be a secure server at your local VA. It will never, ever be a laptop or a desktop computer. If you're doing that, then you're violating policy right off the bat. That the whole reason Vinci exists is to keep data secure behind a firewall. We don't want another case of some researcher with VA data on their laptop losing it and leaving it behind in a taxi, for example. So the data storage location will be your local VAMC.
Thank you. Is there a way to share Vinci lists with study teams via SharePoint to be used as, quote, pre-screening tools?
I'm not sure what they mean by Vinci lists. Perhaps that's a patient list, I'm guessing.
You're welcome to write in for further clarification.
Okay.
If they're talking about accessing PHI and sharing it with a study team, then they'd have to create a secure SharePoint site. And I can't give you advice on how to do that, but if it isn't actually secured with a limited number of people listed for access, then you cannot do it. But you could speak to someone at your facility to see what that would entail.
Yeah, the receiving team would need to be authorized for the same data in order to possess it. And Vinci does have a service where we can facilitate the sharing of data between two studies through the proper regulatory channels. So just send an email to vinci@va.gov if you want to share data with another study.
I thought did they want to share it with another study or just with other study team members?
With other study teams is what it says. So
they're
separate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a friendly reminder to everybody, this session has been recorded and you will receive a follow-up email in the next few days with a link leading to the recording and the slides. The next question, how is working with the Vinci Data Manager once the DART is approved different than using Vinci's assessment services?
Well, they both provide the same service, but as far as developing a cohort, but Vinci Services has a team that focuses on developing cohorts and understanding the data. So a lot of times you can work with them going back and forth ahead of time before you even get to the point of being approved for data, so that you have a cohort in hand when you get to the point where you're approved. And Vinci Data Manager asks you, okay, you've been approved for data, what's your cohort? And then you can hand that over to them that you've created with Vinci Services, and you're off and running. So it's something you can do ahead of time, instead of waiting until you get data access and then you spend a month going back and forth working on a cohort. So save yourself some trouble, save yourself some time, and take advantage of that service.
Thank you. Probably a good time to put this up here. The next question, what is Capri JLV?
Actually, you skipped over a question. If I may go back, they ask, Will Kohler asks, this may be outside the scope of this presentation, I might have missed it, et cetera. So if you noticed in DART, and I didn't mention this, virtually every data source has a link. If you click on that link, it's going to take you to a VHA data portal page, which explains that particular data source, including restrictions, how to request it, resources. VHA data portal is your go-to. All right, and then getting to what is Capri JLV, that is basically the VA's medical record access for researchers to use, so that they can go and look up someone's particular record and look at all the various medical information associated with that. So that application goes right in to VA's medical record system.
Thank you. Well, we have reached the top of the hour. That we do have several pending questions that were not addressed, but we will be following up with those people after the presentation. I do want to invite you to our next session, which is VA data access preparatory to research requirements, and that will be taking place on the 10th of October at 2 p.m. Eastern. You can visit the HSR Cyber Seminar catalog page to register there, or the VIREC page to register. And I want to ask our attendees to please stick around after we close the session. There will be a feedback survey that will populate on your screen. It's just a few questions, but your responses do help us improve presentations that have already been given, as well as you can submit ideas for presentations you would like to see. So I want to once again thank Tim so much for your presentation, and thank you to Linda Koch for helping with Q&A. And this does conclude today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar presentation. Thank you all for joining us.